it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon, the show. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this show. And today, we're going to talk about some fireworks, I suppose. And what else is new? Very touchy subjects today. Racism, feminism. Oh, I know. They got Ebola running around and World War III lurking in the background and Ferguson, Missouri and all this stuff going on to keep y'all busy. The outcome of everything going on today is already determined anyway. It is determined. The outcome of all wars. You're not going to like this, but the outcome of all wars we've had in our past, all of them, have been predetermined because they were planned before 1870s. Family, most everything today, and can be proven, denial is individual's preference. Evidentiary, you can prove what I've just said without a shadow of a doubt. Denial does not change the facts. It's that simple. I'm not out for a popularity contest. I mean, I could tell you all this and all that and tell jokes on the air and all this sort of thing, but nope. I'm not going to do that. I believe in telling the truth and separate myself from country, family, allegiances and all this sort of thing, religion. Jesus Christ is not about religion. He's not even about Christianity. If he's about Christianity, well, Which Christian sect do you belong to? Which one did he belong to? Because they're all different. So you can't classify Christianity as something belonging to Jesus or describing Jesus, because they're all different. Because they're man-made. That's why. Man-made by the Vatican. By the Jesuits, specifically. Jesuits, literally, are murderers. Educated murderers. Criminals that are let loose upon the public, that work in your military, work in your educational institutions throughout the United States. They belong in prison. More than the prisoners, actually. Literally. They take a blood oath to lie, cheat, kill, steal, whatever it takes to get the job done, working for the Vatican family. In 1943, the Ustasha, Roman Catholic Church, Roman Catholic troops, mercenaries, or whatever you want to call them, Ustasha. Listen, they murdered, massacred, tortured beyond recognition 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 Gypsies in only one concentration camp. That's phenomenal. That is total unbelievable evil. The German SS were horrified at the methods they used, the Ustasha, Roman Catholic troops. And Bishop Stefanich, Bishop, notice the word Bishop, that wasn't his first name. That was his title, Bishop. And we're not talking chess neither. Was going to be canonized. And they had to keep it quiet about the books coming out about Jasanovic, concentration camp of horror, 1941-43. Not to mention the massacre, murder, torture of unbelievable magnitude by the Roman Catholic, by the Vatican, between 1200 and 1800 AD. But we're not through yet. Christian, the Fabian Society, Freemasonry, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the secret societies that JFK was trying to warn us about and was massacred, was assassinated by the Jesuits and the Freemasons and the CIA mafia. I just name it. It wasn't a lone assassin, for gosh sakes. Muslims didn't take down 9-1-1. It was a satanic sacrifice by the secret societies. It goes back to the laying of the cornerstone of the World Trade Center, September 11th, 1966. The World Trade Center was built to come down with human sacrifice in 1966. Druids within your country, within your European government, druids, the occult, satanic worship, and human sacrifice. That is really who did it. To open up portals to hell, literally. Now, if you're a new listener, well, I don't want to tell you. But I'm not going to be gentle. I'm not one to tiptoe around and become politically correct. Politically correct is a burden. I believe in naming names. If I fail and I do something crooked, to name my name and get me out of here. If I fail, if I become a liar, then you leave my broadcast. Do not listen to me anymore. If I go outside the King James Bible and start backing up or trying to promote heresy like Joyce Myers and Osteen and T.D. Jakes and Brazier and Copeland and all these, Billy Graham now says you don't have to know the name of Jesus. Yeah, you do, Billy Graham. You do have to know the name of Jesus. You're wrong. They're all changing, every doggone one of them. The last great one was David Wilkerson, and he was murdered because he would not sell his soul to the Illuminati and the Jesuits. I do not believe in being politically correct by no stretch of the imagination and tiptoe around nothing, anything or anybody. Any secret I know, anything I can find out, I will put it out on the air in a heartbeat. I don't care who it is, what it is, as long as I can back it up. I'm not afraid of these people. You're afraid of death, you're afraid of living. If you live a lie, you're already dead walking. You see? So live the lie, but you're already dead. You live that burden every day. The conviction. God will convict you of lies and deceitfulness that you have in your body. You fight it by justifying yourself. Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits. You're worse than murderers in prison. They're outward about it. You just hide and lurk in the fifth column. They're the ones that cause all the wars. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. And then I'm going to launch into what I'm going to talk about, part one today, part two, three if I have to, by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday if I have to. I have a lot to cover this week, exposing to do. And I do not want you to believe me. I want you to say, well, I just don't believe this guy on the radio. I'm going to prove him wrong. Go ahead. If you do, and you show me the evidence, you give me the links, you give me the information where I'm wrong, we both win. Because then I realize I made a mistake and I will learn something and then I put it out on the air so everybody else will learn from my mistake. I have no problem with that. But I do an inordinate amount of research. I'm obsessive about it. I will remain to be obsessive, and I like it to be obsessive about my research. Call it what you want. I call it thorough. But I can make a mistake. If I do, somebody please point it out for me. I will correct it publicly. But if I ever go outside the Bible and start talking like everybody else does outside the Bible, like we're already in the tribulation and we're all this, that, and the other, then you got to leave my broadcast. Give me the note. Say, Tom, you're not talking about the Bible. You're using a different Bible, the NIV or whatever. And I'll start justifying the use of the NIV. You've said what you said. Obviously, I've been compromised. Then you don't listen to me anymore. Because I've been compromised. The King James Bible, irrefutably, is the only, I didn't say one of the best ones. I didn't say that. It is the only, capital O-N-L-Y, only true word of God on the face of this planet. And you will not find another Bible, book, religious, anywhere, in any library on the face of this globe, literally, that will surpass the King James Bible. And you know, before the King James Bible, I know, you say, well, what did they do before that there? Well, that's easy. They suffered with the corrupted versions of the Roman Catholic Church, the Douay Rheims, the Sinaiticus, the Vaticanus, the whatever canus they had, don't make a lick of difference. They're all corrupted. Call it what you want. In the 4th and 3rd and 4th century, they're all corrupted bunch of trash, which led to the Masonic Westcott and Hort version of the Bible. NIV, New American Standard Bible, ESV, you name it, whatever it is, it don't matter. Jerusalem Bible, whatever, it doesn't matter. They're all corrupted except for the King James. But before the King James, you had a period of time called the Dark Ages. Have you ever asked the question or thought about why they called it the Dark Ages? Because God's true word was hidden in the Alps. Throughout the Dark Ages, that's why they called it the Dark Ages. And the Vatican had the Latin version of their corrupted Bible anyway. Oh, you don't have to read the Bible. It's in Latin. We'll read it for you. Sound familiar? Well, they really hated Erasmus and Tyndale and Wycliffe when they translated it into English. Although what the translation was corrupted, it was missing verses because the King James, once it came out of the Alps and the 47 translators collected 5,000 documents, manuscripts, some as only the size of a business card to a whole manuscripts, collected it all, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and English. And then began the translation, transcribing process. And by 1611, you had the King James Bible. Never revisions, but only additions to change the spelling that was misspellings from the Gutenberg. That's all. They hate the King James Bible because it tells the truth and it convicts. It's powerful. more powerful than any M15, M16, or whatever you got. Don't matter. The Word of God is the sword you got in your hand. Don't matter who I'm talking to today. Whoever it is, don't matter. You are an eternal being right now. You are eternal right now. The only question is, where are you going to end up? You take Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go to heaven. When you die, whenever that could be, tomorrow, today, God forbid it would happen, but, or if you get old age, if we get through the tribulation. Or if you don't, hell's the destination. Let's dedicate the broadcast. I'm going to hit the ground running. I think I already have. We're going to talk about what's really going on in America today and this week. Lord, we come today in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we dedicate this broadcast. We dedicate our Bible studies on our network. Father, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, sins of the world, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible, the true Word of God. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that keeps us all tied and close together. Father, we thank you for the knowledge you give us, the wisdom, discernment that you put bestow upon us, that Father, when we ask you, we thank you for the miracles that you've performed, even though, Father, sometimes we look over them and take them for granted, maybe, that you will remind us of the miracles that occur. But, Father, we call upon you to give us wisdom, discernment, to see through the deception of today, heading toward the end times events, that, Lord, that there is so much deception out there, that, Lord, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and give us the words to speak, the knowledge and wisdom, discernment, that we can preach the gospel, that we can spread the truth as watchmen. And Lord, we call upon you to raise up your watchmen and give them that knowledge through the written on their heart of the truth of what's going on today. And cut through the deception and reveal those at the highest level, Father, that are being deceiving. And those that work for Satan's realm. We pray once again for our veterans, and we pray again for the citizens that are being targeted by the Illuminati, by the Jesuits, by the Freemasons, and by these that are getting ready to cause all this pain, destruction, and death. That, Lord, that you give us discernment, wisdom, and you give us that knowledge that we can see through these deceptions. We can pass the truth about the gospel to those that's in need when that spirit is let out. Father, we pray for the veterans. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide them in the right path with divine appointments. That, Father, you'll use your supernatural power to silence the voices that's put in their heads by this technology. And, Father, to take away the thoughts of the suicide, to point them in the right direction with divine appointments, and render null and void the effects of these psychotropic drugs that's causing these suicides and shootings. That, Lord, that many don't know that this is being orchestrated and planned out, not only in the military, but, Father, in the civilian populations, that, Lord, that they don't know about the technology being used upon them. Father, we do pray for you, Lord. We do pray for them, Lord, that you'll protect their bodies from this diseases that's coming and the attacks that's going to be happening. And, Father, to put a spirit of togetherness among us, that, Father, when we preach the gospel, that the truth will come out. Father, we pray for those children that's being identified, being abducted and profiled to be abducted by the governments for sacrifice, by their Wiccan, by their Satanists in all these countries and governments and royal families, that, Lord, that you'll expose them for what they're really doing. And, Lord, to put conviction upon their heart. And, Lord, to bring whistleblowers out to expose what they're doing and who they are. But, Father, we pray upon you. We pray, Father, we pray that you'll give us that spirit of peace, but you'll give us the words to speak and opportunities to witness before these times hit, and outpouring the Holy Spirit upon the population of this world. Father, we pray for courage from the world leaders. We pray for courage for those on the pulpits, the synagogues, and the cathedrals to start preaching the true Word of God. And for those that's quiet to speak up and those that's speaking out lies, that, Father, they be shut up. These things we pray, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, today, you know, I had a few epiphanies that I'm going to talk about. Before I go there, I want to look at some of the news that just came out here recently, and Lord, this isn't all of it, but remember yesterday even last week, but yesterday we were talking about how they use, like, greater Israel. Israel is going to have a new world, a new beginnings and so forth. A greater Israel, they call it. And then I mentioned that, well, they did the same thing for the Albanians, greater Albania, to galvanize them into moving into the Balkans, to use them as a dividing force. What was the carrot they used? Well, you're going to have, because when they studied the culture, when they studied the culture of the Albanians, they knew that they didn't have really a homeland, per se. Skanderbeg and their hero, they need to galvanize with a hero. And then they had what's called Bale Komtar. Bale Komtar is Greater Albania. So that was what galvanized the Albanians back in the time before World War II. Hitler used this Greater Albania theme to galvanize and use the newly arrived Muslims through the Turks. Albanians, lukewarm Muslim. I lived among the Serbs, Orthodox Christians. I lived among the Albanians, Muslims, lukewarm, in Kosovo when I was there for 5 years. I didn't even live in the United States. I might have had a passport, but I only used it when I came home on occasion. My home was in Kosovo. I had nothing here in America. I lived in Saudi Arabia for 4 years, 3.5 years actually. No home here. I turned everything in. Tried to sell my home and put everything in storage, and I didn't belong here anymore. Passport, yeah, but my home? Uh-uh. Nope, wasn't here. Saudi Arabia for 3.5 years. I had more than one translator that were Saudis. Was operations officer for American security group that protected our military advisors in Saudi Arabia after they were attacked in 1995, 1996 in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So I had, 30, 40 translators that were Saudis, some of them from the royal families. Had several that would pull me off the side real silently and secretly, said, Tom, you know, we're Christian, we believe in Jesus, but we can't say anything. They take it serious over there, Saudi Arabia. Then Kosovo was another story. I saw the racial division of two white groups, Serbs and Albanians. One Serb Orthodox Christian and one lukewarm Muslims. Albanians, and I had to galvanize them into a 100-man security force and train them myself with my own design, my own program. Never had one. Some of them never been security at all. In 5 different regions, divide them, schedule them, train them, protect internationals, and have them work together. I did that for 5 years. It worked. The first election was in my region. The first election for Kosovo was tested in my region. I've seen it where NATO, under powder puff Wesley Clark, destroyed the Balkans with their errant bombing and lies and cheating and allowing the mafia to run loose, and the mafia controlled it, actually. How the State Department worked with the mafia. How they allowed Al-Qaeda, if you want to call it that, Mujahideen to run freely in my region, Al-Haramain, they called it, and which has actually had a group in Oregon and Washington. Imagine that, huh? Did y'all know that? Anyway, and RHIS just run around loose. It even had spray paint on the side of their Mitsubishi RHIS. They might as well say Al-Qaeda spray painted on the side. That's what was really going on. A genocide of Serbs. A genocide under our noses is allowed by our own State Department and the UN. The UN is there to cause trouble. They're to cause division, not help, under the lies and guise of trying to protect. And all this is a lie from hell. The high-level United Nations are liars. I know for a fact. They cause the trouble by design. The lower-level workers, they do a good job. They try to. When they get too good at it, they just ship them out somewhere else to make sure that the Albanians and Serbs fought each other. Left alone, the Albanians and Serbs would work it out. That's my point. But the CIA, the different groups they formed, KLA and the NLA and ABCXYZ, controlled by the government, controlled by the Illuminati, by the Jesuits, by our own government, UN, just them all in a pot, kept the fires going and people being murdered, certainly in my region. I was on the boundary of Serbia and Kosovo. I said boundary. It wasn't a border. Kosovo belonged to Serbia. That's why it's a boundary, not a border. I knew that MPRI, American specialists, mostly all of them are retired military of some kind, MPRI, based in Virginia, I know for a fact, worked both the rebel side of the Albanians and Macedonia during their insurrection, which I warned the State Department about 2 months before it happened. They just laughed. I said, yeah, you laugh, sucker. Well, 2 months had happened because I kept track of the terrorist groups 2 months before. And they weren't there to sell funnel cakes. Had 5 groups. I've still got the map to show you where the grid square, where they had their training camps. I told the State Department down in Macedonia, I said, you're going to have an insurrection. They're going to start, NLA is going to start there. He just laughed and walked away. 2 months later, it started. But here's the point. Point is, the MPRI, American advisors, were advising the rebel groups of Albanian terrorists in L.A. and Macedonia. At the same time, they were advising the Macedonian forces. Same time. Yeah. On the last battle, you won't call it that, the last conflict in Areshevo, they call it, the Macedonian forces was closing in on the Albanian terrorists, per se, one night. The last time. And the Macedonian forces had a group of MPRI with them advising, American. Well, the problem was the NLA did too, had 17 Americans that were MPRI working with them. So they had to call for helicopters out of Camp Bonstil in Kosovo that night to come pick up the advisors, 17 of them, by the way. And it's in not in my book, but in the book that where I gave testimony about this. 17 of them were lifted out of their terrorist camp in Macedonia and removed before the Macedonian forces closed in. That had been a little bit embarrassing, wouldn't it? The MPRI guys moving in with the Macedonians moving in on NLA with MPRI with them too. Hey, John, how you doing? Oh, we're fine. How long did it take you? That wouldn't have been too good, would it? No. So they took them out. Well, when the Macedonian forces closed in on the Albanian terrorists, they just simply put them on no problem. Had no problem. Had everything but a marshmallow roast. They put them on buses, school buses, and sent them back to Kosovo across the border. Border between Macedonia and Kosovo. Boundary between Kosovo and Serbia. Oh, it was confusing. It was. I thought it was kind of interesting that we work both sides as ordered by the Vatican and the UN, you understand. So I got to see another racial issue in Kosovo. White to white, but based on religion. In America, it's black to black based on race. We're going to get to that today, tomorrow. part three, part two. I just move right along with it. I'm going to give you details. Don't believe what I say. Look up what everything I tell you. Look it up. The coming, C-O-M-I-N-G, Balkan Caliphate, C-A-L-P-H-A-T-E, Caliphate. The coming Balkan Caliphate by Chris DeLisio, chapters 3 and chapter 6, chronicles my experiences there with extreme evidence. I get nothing for the book. I just told my friend Chris to, man, put everything, I mean, don't hold nothing back. As long as it's true, don't even call me about what you put in there. Because I've given you all the evidence. I gave him everything. I was real helpful. And I said, don't worry about me. I said, you put everything in there I gave you. Everything. And that was 2005. I said, leave nothing to spare. Any fallback, I'll deal with it. I don't care. I want the truth out. They can stick it up their wazoo. That's my attitude. And he did. He did. West Point has a copy. They treasure the book because it tells you exactly what they did in Kosovo. You go on my website, watchmenforjesus.com. There should be a PDF there for free to read. I'm not looking to make any money off of nothing. I'm looking to get the truth out. No matter what. While I can. Because I belong to nobody except Jesus Christ. That's it. I pledge allegiance to nothing and nobody but Jesus. And I don't have to pledge allegiance or do a blood oath to Jesus. All I got to do is say it. And to trust him by my own free will. That's all he requires. To love him and trust him. And do his will, not my own. But there's something inherently wrong when you got to take a blood oath. When you got to lie because the ends justify the means. You're already dead. You're dead inside. Because you owed your allegiance. And you justify it in some way, don't you? You've taken a blood oath to lie. Judges, lawyers, presidents of countries, CEOs, congressmen, queens and kings of this world. I'm not talking low level. I don't do the low level stuff. That goes without saying. As a matter of fact, the low level, they have no idea. No clue. And we're talking the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry. They don't have one iota of a clue of what really is going on high level. High level is using them like they're shoeshine boys. Well, remember I said yesterday about the new Jerusalem, the new Albania, the great Albania. Now they have the greater Serbia. Then they had Aslan for the Mexicans, greater Serbia for the Serbs. Everybody's got a greater something. Greater Albania for the Albanians, to give them something to go for, something to go after. You white folk in Europe being murdered by the Vatican from 1200 to 1800 AD by 1492, they gave you something too, didn't they? Moved to the New World. New World. And gave you a religion, didn't they? Yeah, called Protestantism by a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther. And another one by the name of John Calvin, who was a murderer. Even named his own religion after himself. Calvinism. Hello. That should be a clue right there. And Lutheran. Martin Luther. Well, golly. You know, I should study, go to, I don't know, take a crash course in Harvard over some theology, right? And just go ahead and say, gambleism. There you go. I'll just invent my own religion and come up with some kind of book or something. Take the book of Urantia or some other book, I don't know what, and then take the Bible and just mix mash it and whatever sounds good and call it gambleism. And take a course under Tony Robbins or Joel Osteen on how to talk and lie to people. And then I'll just get out there and start saying, hey there guys, how y'all doing? We got a great religion for you today. Got funnel cakes for you in the background. Just $9.99, come on in. Well, there you go. I got my religion. Got my own book. You know, Duck Dynasty? Their true colors showed, because they're going to start doing their own Bible back next year. They can't do that. So when they write their own Bible, they've shown their true colors. And it ain't Christian. Ellen G. White wrote her own Bible. Joseph Smith wrote his own Bible. Muhammad has his own Bible. Muhammad was trained by the Vatican from 6 years old to 25. Did you know that? Whoa. And they hitched him up with a 40-year-old Arab lady, who was a rich widow, who was also trained in as a convent, a Roman Catholic. And you know the Vatican created Islam as religion? Islam did not exist before the 7th century, 6th, 7th century. Didn't exist. The religion wasn't there. So the Vatican created one, called it Islam. That's correct. Then at 6 years old, they trained Mohammed, who was in the bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II through King Edward IV. How about that, huh? Do y'all know that? Arabs that were in the know, they're proud of the fact that Mohammed the prophet has blood in his veins, the same blood as part of blood of Queen Elizabeth II. They're proud of that. Oh, it just gets muddier and muddier. Tracing their bloodlines all the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt. The pharaohs of Egypt were hybrids of the fallen angels and the daughters of man. They made them pharaohs. Bloodline carried forward all the way up to the bloodlines today, the blue bloodlines. Satan has been a busy, busy boy. So every country, to galvanize them, has a movement of some kind. That's how they pull people in. Find out what you're missing, how you're organized, how your culture is. Then they start to destroy it from the inside. They find what you lack and they'll give it to you. It's called the dialectic. Actually, it was identified later. The technique's always been used, but it was identified by name. A label called Hegelian dialectic by Hegel. Problem, reaction, solution. Problem, you get a reaction, then they provide the solution. It's always been. Well, I talked about this, and in the Mexican side, to galvanize them, was Aztlan, A-Z-T-L-A-N. To get back what they lost, that we took from them. Guess who was here in America first? Well, in the North American continent. Who was here first? The Indians and the Mexicans. Of that bloodline. They were here first. White folk left Europe to escape the murderous Vatican and bondage they received in Europe, called the Inquisition. 50 to 68 million people. My gosh. Between 1200 and 1800 AD. That's phenomenal. That's amazing. That's total evil that they don't talk about. That's why our white folk, your ancestors, moved out of Europe. To give them courage, they came up with Protestantism. To escape it, they had to have that courage. And an avatar by the name of Columbus led the way. He knew what he was doing. To target the Indians, contain them, kill them if necessary, to make way for the second culture they're bringing in to this melting pot called America, later to be the new Atlantis, planned since the 10th century until today. You know, it's taken them, actually, from their planning, from the 10th century, 9th or 10th century, when the first group came over to America to, I don't know, call it an advanced party if you want to. It took them 1,000 years, about 1,013 years from 10th century, give or take, to 2013 to accomplish what they set out to do. I'd say that's pretty long-term planning by Lucifer, wouldn't you? You're probably wondering what the head dickens I'm talking about, don't you? You look up National Geographic, you should be able to find the article to confirm what I'm telling you. That they have accomplished their goal. It took them 1,000 years, give or take, to accomplish their goal of making a diverse culture of connected DNA. National Geographic reports it under your noses. It's called The Changing Face of America. October 2013 issue. There is their handiwork. And Brock Chisholm confirms her agenda. He said, and I quote Brock Chisholm. Brock Chisholm was director of the World Health Organization, 1948 to 1953. And Brock Chisholm said, I quote, the agitator of Illuminati will proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Dr. Brock Chisholm advocated on Christian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. So they caused the strife to make people want to come together, and then they mix the races. So now you got a combined race. You don't have any more racial differences. What does that lead to? What the Bible says, the New World Order. Now, I'm going to talk about that now. I'm just laying the groundwork right now. We've been set up badly. And it goes back generations. Well, they use... It took me 40 minutes to lay the... Well, I'm going to tell you now... That's how I do it. I lay the groundwork. I just don't throw something at you and just say, well, there it is. I lay the groundwork. You got the idea sort of now, right? Okay. They use movie stars, singers, dancers, songwriters, politicians, people that are famous in your entertainment world, in your education world, that are nationally known. They use them for their agenda. Singers, dancers, songwriters, actors sign up in their blood, in their name, a blood oath to Satan, literally, to do the bidding of whatever they want. Devil Foster. Melissa Ford says, you know Melissa Ford?
I had to ask some friends because I was hearing a lot about her, and so they told me, you know, who she was and what she was doing. And I come from the school of thought. There's just some things that the public just shouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? Like things that happen between two people, a wife and a husband, girl. I just don't think that it's for mass consumption. I just have always felt that way, and I just think that the whole idea of celebrity and fame has become really convoluted and, you know, kind of bastardized, like whereas fame used to be the byproduct of success, and now it's the ultimate goal. And you, if your ultimate goal is to be famous, then you're going to do a lot to get there, like sign your name in blood in a contract with the devil. Like you're going to end up on a one-way street, and it's going nowhere. Like that's just the truth. I've seen so many people, like, forsake their moral code and their value systems just for a little bit of fame, and it's not worth it at the end of the day. It's really not worth it.
That's the short version. That's a fact. That's how they get it. That's what they use Hollywood for. That is the only purpose of Hollywood. No other purpose but to promote their agenda. They take those like Ventura, like what Swanson Nazi, like Reagan, and they turn them into political leaders after they've done their acting. They've all given their life to Satan. Act like they haven't, but they have. Then they promote the agenda of the Illuminati. This is how it really happens. Y'all remember Linda Ronstadt? Great singer in my day. Well, right on cue. She comes right out of the woodwork a couple days ago. Bring her out. Linda Ronstadt. My heritage is from Aslan. No one's illegal. They should be able to come over. Award-winning rock singer Linda Ronstadt, whose career has been prepared with political controversies, told the Arizona newspaper U.S. border with Mexico should be wide open. There should be not a question of legal or illegal immigration. She said in an interview with the Arizona Republic, people came and immigrated to this country from the time of the Indians. No one's illegal. They should just be able to come over. Now, personally, I don't care either way, because I know that I'm leaving this world, and our world is in heaven. It's not on this earth. This earth is going to get into World War III. You're not going to believe. You better pray you're not here. I have to deal in reality. I don't deal in all this other stuff. But Ronstadt was awarded the National Medal of Arts and Humanities by President Obama. So they used, like Ventura, they used him for this ridiculous TV program he had. It's all set up and scripted. Him pretending like he's, well, they're following me here. We're on the ship. We're going to near, this base facility. And, we got the guards coming. The police are on the way. They're going to probably, oh, that's all so scripted and nonsense. I never heard anything such. It's all baloney. It's all lies. Duck Dynasty, all that. Everything on TV is scripted out. Everything. There's no exception. Including the preaching. Oh, yeah. There is no doubt about that. Paid and bought for. David Wilkerson was the last great one. And they murdered him. Because he would not bow down like the rest of them are. The immigration has been going on since 1492. Listen carefully. March 4th, 1939, a traitor, a murderer, just like Churchill, FDR, responsible for Pearl Harbor, planning it with Churchill and the Japanese elite working together. Oh, that's a fact. Oh, yeah. In the 1920s. It's all about the Illuminati. And using America as, well, the North American continent as a diverse melting pot to bring all the cultures together to form their creation. That's what it's always been about, the Fabian Society, the Jesuits, and so forth. Well, listen to what FDR says. His own words. Listen carefully to the part that I'm sure will stick out to what I'm talking about here. Quote, FDR behind closed doors. Three congressional committees heard him say this, and Senator Lundeen put it in his diary before he and after FDR died in Yalta. Senator Lundeen gave it to William G. Carr. He put it in his book that's really not well known called The Red Fog Over America. It's there. You'll find it on my website, in my timeline, and the quote's there. But listen to what the quote says, and this is a summary of what all the presidents, their attitude, all of our presidents, except for the ones they assassinated. Quote, FDR behind closed doors. I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. 1939. I'm putting my people, Illuminati, ahead of all instruments. Instruments were the American citizens. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people, as far as the democracy is concerned, it does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. He goes on to say, quote, I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. And the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. FDR. The infesting of the United North American continent with aliens began in 1492. It never stopped. It's always been the Illuminati's plan. Now I'm going to tell you why. Today and tomorrow, exactly why. I mean right down to the nitty gritty of why this is really happening. First of all, the activities in Las Vegas, in Nevada. The Bundys are dirty too. The Bundys are Illuminati. They lied to their fellow ranchers and they got them all galvanized and all this. They were there from 1993 to current time, and finally it takes some kind of crisis to hit the news at some time when they're doing something else on the side, probably. So the Bundys are like, we got to fight for our freedom from a tyrannical government and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. All their other rancher friends were taken out. How come Bundy's still there? And in 1993, they've been doing, it wasn't time yet for them to come up with their play acting. But then recently they did. It was time now to bring this crisis up. So the Bundys in Nevada, that was used to put white on white, rice on rice, to find out about the militia. Who's going to show up to fight for our freedom and the tyrannical government and all this and all that kind of stuff? They want to find out, white on white, who's the militia, who's going to be patriotic America and all this kind of thing, to see who shows up. Facial recognition to galvanize. Does it work or not? They wanted to test it out. Then when they got that all worked out and they pulled their little sneaky stuff on the side, whatever it was, now let's check the black on white issue. Here comes Trayvon Martin. That was that one. A sacrifice. His father was a Freemason, by the way. And here comes Ferguson and Brown. And here we go. To test and see. Now they may drive this one out. Now they bring in the National Guard, don't they? Declare a national emergency. You know what they can do? Declare a national emergency. You can suspend the American Constitution. John Warner National Defense Authorization Act. It's all been planned out. Bush did this. Not just Obama. Obama's another lackey like Bush is. It's been planned since 1984. It's nothing new. You see how they do it? They create the crisis. When they create the crisis, they also respond to it. They work both sides always. Their answer to suspend the Constitution when the time comes. But they got to practice it first. This is not new. This is old. I may have new listeners. So then I will.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the church.
That was the 1983-84 time frame during the testimonies and so forth, that trial of our Contra affair and so forth. It's always been set up. So the Posse Comitatus Act is when you can move the military in when the national disaster is declared. It's a test case. What they're not telling you is the Spetsnaz, Russian Spetsnaz, tens of thousands here, Chinese military already positioned in the bases that Clinton closed down. You have military from foreign countries there and other foreign countries throughout the United States. And they set up false flags. To galvanize it. That's what's happening. And people fall for it every time. Every doggone time they fall for it. So, that's where Trayvon Martin, Ferguson, and all those. These are false flags. To test the population about where you are. Now, that being said, I want to move on into how they do it. And I'll cover this today and tomorrow. And you'll see their activities. You'll see how they organize this. Tavistock helped set it up. But I want to lay some groundwork here. About this situation. Why do we, as white folk, black folk, Chinese, Hispanic, why do we hate each other because of skin color? You ever really asked that question? You really got around to it? Or just do it? You got a dog killing chickens. A dog killing chickens. And the dog gets shot. Okay. So a white man's dog kills a black man's chicken. So did the black man kill the dog because he was owned by the white man or because he was killing the chickens? Do all white people have dogs that kill black people's chickens? What if a white man's dog killed a white man's chicken? Now what? What difference does it make? He killed the darn chicken. Well, who cares what color skin the owner is? Or even the one that kills the dog or the chicken or whatever. Give it to Kentucky Fried or whatever. You understand? What difference does it make? You now associate all white men with dog killing chickens, even if it's a Chihuahua. Or do you white folk train your dogs to kill black man's chickens? You got the idea how silly this is? So now every black person around, every white man around, you have a chicken killing dog. Well, not necessarily true. What if Jews Was Jesus, is Middle Easterner looking and very dark skinned Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Not Caucasian. Will he love you less if you're a white man? Or will love you less if you're a completely black man? Or Chinese? You think, what do you think Jesus would do? Do I really have to ask that question? But let's ask this question. If you belong to a white man's club called Christian Identity, or Jesus' dark skin, when he shows up and you're around, assuming, what do you do now? Do you deny Jesus? Oh, he's a black man. He's got brown skin. He ain't white, man. He ain't Caucasian. We reject him now. What are you going to do? So why do you promote that Jesus Christ is white? Why do you promote that Jesus Christ is black? What difference does it make? And they're doing that. Hebrew Roots movement. Sacred Name movement. Ethiopian movement that Jesus is black. Jesus looked as blonde-haired, blue-eyed. No, he's not. Has anybody ever thought he comes from the Middle East? What Middle Easterners look like? What difference does it make? Is it the color of a man's skin make a difference? So why we hate or distrust each other or take sides because we're one color or another, a different culture or another, why do we do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we're taught that way. By design. Extreme groups are controlled by Freemasons and Jesuits and Illuminati. They create the situation to promote violence. Then they sow discord. Keep us all fighting each other. That's when we come back around when I'm talking about Greater Albania, Greater Serbia, the new world we're going to. India's Got Movements, Aslan, Black Panthers, KKK, NAACP, ACLU, ADL, every one of them work for the same group. But they're all designed to cause us to fight. Al-Qaeda, which doesn't exist anyway, ISIS, you see what they're doing? Keep us all at odds with each other. Always. And it works. Always has. But what if the roles were reversed? What would you do then? What if we were, say, in Africa, you white folk, and down there you say, boy, you white boy, you sit over there. You don't be sitting here with us. You go over there in that stump over there and you eat. Don't you come over here in these tables. You sit on that stump out there. White man. Then what are you going to do, white folk? How did it make you feel? Well, I can tell you how it makes you feel. Don't feel good because you're getting a taste of it right now, aren't you? Oh, I threw that at you, didn't I? Because you live in a tyrannical government now, thanks to a lot of so-called truth tellers. We live in a tyrannical government. We got to fight for rights and all this and all that going on. Here we go again. You see? So now, white folk, you're told you live in a tyrannical government, you know, and you don't like it. Well, the blacks have been living under that since the 17th century until 1960. Don't you complain one ounce. The blacks have been fooling up with this since the 17th century when they came over as slaves. Willie Lynch, another black man, taught the white folk out here how to make better slaves in the year 1711. Hired by the Rothschilds. Willie Lynch papers, read them. Unbelievably horrific, terrible, horrible, worse than Hitler almost. And white folk, you were put under bondage by the Vatican from the 13th century. All the way up, didn't even know it. Still have been all along, didn't know it. They kept it silent to you. You've been slaves all along, didn't even know it. Under the Federal Reserve and under a false constitution that was rendered null and void a long time ago. Since 1789, you were under financial bondage and didn't even know it. Now you've been, awakened to it, and you're like, don't like it. Imagine that. Indians were put under subjugation since 1400s. Fabian Society put smallpox in the darn blankets they gave to them to start killing off the population, for goodness sakes. Don't forget about Wounded Knee. There's thoughts coming out recently about putting Ebola viruses in Bibles, or putting Ebola virus in Lord knows where, chemtrails out there. They're testing it out now. They're going to put up with more scares and all this sort of thing. Greater is he in you than in the world. It's going to boil down to that. So why do we hate each other just based on the color? Because we're taught that. And I can prove it too. From their own writings and the protocols. Quote, Article 9, Paragraph 9 of the protocols learned elders of Zion. I'm sorry, Article 5, Paragraph 11 of what's called the scheme of the protocols. Listen to it carefully. Quote, there's nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people, listen carefully, among whom we have sown discord. We must so direct the education of the Goyim communities, that's us, that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands in despairing impotence. This is where they came out with liberalism. Article 9, Paragraph 9, talks about the chaotic license of liberalism. And you know the basic fundamental principle of the Illuminati, quote, the supreme directors of the satanic conspiracy are a small group of men who believe in the supernatural, but who deliberately organize atheistic materialism to lure human beings away from Almighty God. The devil, their master, wins every soul who has denied the existence of God and refused to love, serve, and obey him. Quote, William G. Carr, Red Fog Over America, page 27, first edition, 1955. Quote, the fundamental principle of the satanic Illuminati is to divide the different races, religions, political groups, social classes, and nationalities, etc., and make them fight each other so they become weak in manpower and ruined economically. This plot leads them towards internationalism. Unquote. And we fall for it every time, hook, line, and sinker. And fight each other. There was an experiment. I found it one time, but I may be able to find it since. But the experiment goes like this. It was six monkeys. I believe it was six monkeys in the control group. And they were six very hungry monkeys. They made them hungry by not feeding them. And so they put a banana hanging from the roof, the ceiling, and they put a stepladder. A hungry monkey can get real smart all of a sudden. He'll climb up the stepladder and get the banana. Except there's a little wrinkle to it. When the monkey started climbing the ladder, they'd take a water hose, like they were demonstrators, and blow them off the stepladder. They wet them all down, too. Now, monkeys don't like getting wet. If I was a monkey, I would not get wet either. Especially when I get blown up against the wall. So every time a monkey would go up, they'd get sprayed. Monkey go up, it gets sprayed. The monkeys aren't stupid. Sometimes I wonder if they ain't smarter than some people in Congress. And so these monkeys said, man, we ain't going up there. It's not worth trying to get that banana and getting sprayed by this human out here. I bet one of them was saying and thinking, can't wait till Planet of the Apes comes around. So that's her favorite movie, you know. Monkey's favorite movie is Planet of the Apes. Nevertheless, seriously, the monkey said, it's not worth it. You know, pretty much, it's not. This is not a joke. I'm not, you know, you're thinking that they're not stupid. Every time we go up there, we get sprayed, it's not worth it. Just keep your banana. So it didn't do it. Once they were determined that they would not climb up anymore on the ladder, they just left the banana alone. They switched out one monkey for another monkey that doesn't know squat about it. Well, now that monkey, out of six of them, there's five that know what's going on, and there's one that don't, and he's a hungry monkey. So that hungry monkey says, well, these fools, you know, I'm just thinking what he's thinking, maybe, are just sitting there, and I see a banana, I'm going up there and get that banana. Well, guess what? Those other monkeys would not let that monkey go up there and get that banana. They kept him from it. They were the ones keeping him from getting the banana. They don't want to get sprayed again. Again, they're not dumb monkeys. So when that monkey was conditioned enough by his own brethren, they switched off another monkey. So they got two that don't know what's going on. And he got, you know, four that do. Same thing. Long story shorter, guess what they did? They switched out all of them eventually. So you've got six hungry monkeys that don't climb up there to get the banana, and they don't know why. They just know you ain't supposed to do it. They have no idea about the water, no clue about the water. They just know you're just not supposed to get it. No, why? I'm just not. That's where we are today. We're taught to hate each other. You see, is social transmission of acquired behavior, Roseblatt, Hendershaw Bear. Social transmission of acquired behavior. They use these corporations as a cover to study human behavior. And you thought it was just for advertising. Uh-uh. Not just for advertising. To control you, leading you to a new world order. It's about Satan. It's about the supernatural. It always has been. And the movie stars tell you about this constantly. Because that's where they get their talent from. That's where their talent comes from. Many of the stars will tell you, like even Beyonce will tell you, Sasha Pierce comes inside her for her to do these things she does. Otherwise she couldn't do it. Same thing for your presidents. Same thing for scientists. I have identified three ways by their own admission, by their own textbook, their own diagrams, everything. Three ways that they influence mankind's behavior.
And this machine around us, this so-called music industry, is such a demonic thing. It sacrifices people's lives.
That's Chaka Khan. I could go on and on and on. I got tons of these admissions that confirm it. Your presence, go to Bohemian Grove. That's where they have their tie with Illuminati, with Satanic Realm, Moloch, and they sacrifice children there. It's no game. Another one that you don't know about is Wesak Festival. The Wesak Festival. Do not be fooled by the festival word. Wesak, W-E-S-A-K, is conducted throughout the world. One in Mount Shasta, California. Human sacrifices, but on the outside they do tarot cards and play around the maypole and we're naked in the woods, whatever. Wicca, witchcraft, and Wesak. But the Wesak, in fact, has the fallen angels either be channeled or one or so to be manifested, and they set up new initiates. At the highest level is not White House, but the Wesak Festival. Uh-huh. These are your controllers. So, that's the reality. Now, I'm just laying the groundwork. A lot to talk about. We think, if I was going to talk about weapons that the Illuminati is going to use, what would come to your mind? Well, disease. You would think, nuclear weapons. You'd think about missiles. Bombs, weapons they're going to use, would you not? You think about war. Well, when it's got to that point, it's already too late. But those are not correct. What they've done as a main weapon is they've used racism and feminism to cut the legs out from under you all along. That's been the main weapon against America. It's all been ongoing from time of beginning till now. Is racism and feminism is the weapons they've been using all along. When we were looking on the left, they've been working on the right. Dividing the races, as I told you a little bit before, producing prejudice, causing us to fight each other. It's called a fifth column strategy. And to describe the fifth column strategy that they're using against us and the idol of patriotism. Oh, they're after patriotism now. They want to get rid of patriotism. The schools have been working on it all along. Education is another weapon they've been using. Education in the background to change the thinking of our children goes back to 1908. Did you know that every public school is a school of humanism? Charles Francis Potter confirms 1930. Every major college, every one of them, college and university, have instituted Marxism, socialism, humanism, preachment with its disciplines as curriculum. Georgia Ann Geyer, Roger Kimball, Bertrand Russell, they confirm it. These have been the weapons they've used all along. And fictitious alternate enemies, what are those? Quote, Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider of the Council of the Club of Rome, I quote, from the first global revolution, begin quote, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and all the like would fit the bill. In their totality and in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat with demands the solidarity of all people. But in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap about which we have already warned, namely mistaking systems for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. It's only through changed attitude and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. Unquote. and David Spangler of the director of the Planetary Initiative, United Nations, said, and I quote, "No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation," unquote. You remember I told you all about the New Age movement? That we're all one in Christ consciousness and love and marshmallow roast and all that kind of thing? Well, there's a guy with a, I don't know who his name is, but anyway, he's on YouTube. He's one of these gurus and whatever. And he's getting down on Michael Tessarion. Michael Tessarion's a fraud. He is also a Freemason. He also said that pedophile's okay. Now, this really fired up this other guru, this New Age guy, really got down on Tessarion on a YouTube presentation. That Tessarion's brilliant, which I questioned very intensely. That is not brilliant. He's a New Ager, a Luciferian. But this guy says he's brilliant, he always followed him, but now he's crossed the line. Said that pedophile's okay. And boy, his guru got after Tessarion on YouTube. Here's my point. I mentioned this many times before, that the New Age movement, although it has all one in Christ consciousness, we're all one in the world and this roast marshmallows together and all that, leaves out Jesus Christ completely. That the downside to that is they're going to close down all felons and prisons. They're going to close down all prisons. Do as I wilt as I hold the law. And what that entails is closing down prisons and releasing the felons upon the population. Do as I wilt includes pedophile, rape, murder, whatever it is. Hey, that's just the way it goes. It's your learning process. You know, Krishna, Bodhisattva, deal with it. See, the New Agers aren't counting on that. So Tessarion is coming out with the real philosophy of the New Age movement. The pedophile's okay. This other New Ager is saying, well, it's not okay. See, they have no idea what's coming their way. They don't know what David Spangler knows and what's happening. They don't know this, that no one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless they will take a Luciferian initiation in blood. He wants your soul. That's the big picture. Covered over by this lukewarm roasting marshmallows and everybody holding hands together, we are the world and blah, 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 is going to end and they're going to come down with a despotic government you can't even believe. So how did racism start out? So we get down to their main weapon, racism. Oh, yeah, I know. We could talk about, what have we got to talk about before we get there? Oh, gosh. You know, we could talk about, Compton School police cleared to carry AR-15 rifles in their car. So you got a high school here. Now they can start carrying their AR-15s. For what? Does that protect them from rotting gang members hitting the school and terrorists? Or does this protect them from the parents and teachers, parents that want to take their kids out of school because the vaccines are being given illegally? Mm-hmm. So now Compton School police can carry their AR-15s in the cars. It's sneaking up on you, family. Remember I told you people would leave their country if they're being subjected to terrorism and despotism and all that? We got a modern day example of it, of what happened in Europe to come to America and other places. A modern day example was recent. Afghan sheikhs in airless container for 18 hours. The Sheikh, IKH families found in a shipping container in Britain were fleeing persecution in Afghanistan had been trapped in darkness without fresh air for 18 hours. When people are given these subjugations, they will flee that country and be moved to another one. That's exactly what happened back in the 1400s. To justify keeping police there, recently two California boys planned a school shooting. They had to put this out. Oh, I see. So we want the police there. Yeah. To show that students are being subjected to dangers in the schools, to justify the assigning of the international rights of the child, you've got a massive number of 28, 29, 30-year-old school teachers, female, having affairs and love with their 13, 14, 15-year-olds, being arrested. I think we need to get the international rights of the child thing signed, don't we? So they'll protect our children in the schools. Well, no, because when they sign the International Rights of the Child Treaty with the UN, that's to take your kids away from you so they can commit euthanasia, because they're working on that in Oregon today, now, this period of time. They're trying to get it passed. They failed to pass it. 1989, International Rights of the Child. When they get that passed, finally, then your child will be able to commit euthanasia and you can't stop them. That's being worked on now. This is not speculation. All kinds of stuff we can talk about. To get the race issue back up, recently, Issa Starr, or the mother of a Freemason, of Trayvon Martin, now pens a letter to parents of Michael Brown. It's in the news. Just keep it going. Keep it going. That's how they do it. Freemasons are behind this. To keep that trigger moving. To use racism as a matter of keeping us divided. Well, we can talk about the news, but it's all scripted out anyway. We could talk about Ebola. But family, if they're going to put it out, they're going to put it out. Agenda 21. All these things is to put fear in your bodies. So the different races and different sexes they have used for weapon for us since the days of Nimrod. We all go back to Noah. This is my discussion on racism and how they've established it. From there in Noah, because everything else was destroyed, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah, and from these three onwards, the racial issue is getting ready to surface. Yeah, the sun makes a difference on the skin, maybe. Darker skin protects it from the sun. But they still get sunburn. Food intake plays a part of changing DNA. People are darker in the summer when you go outside and lighter in the winter when you stay out inside. The physical skin has nothing to do with race, genetically speaking. It's the DNA. Although the skin tones are carried from our ancestors, a Muslim can be light-skinned or dark as such, a Catholic, Baptist, or Buddhist, or whatever. If the Celts had lived in Africa, their skin would have been dark. We can't judge people on skin color. But you should be aware of the shades of one heart so you won't be snared into sin. We know sinful activities, and God has warned us about this in the King James Bible. God gave us a commandment to abide by in the Old Testament, New Testament, the do's and don'ts. Races were moved all over the world like musical chairs. In the United States, here in the North American continent, we have many races here, don't we? To produce the sovereignty, we have our festivals and sharing of culture and all that. Sin darkens the heart. A sin we commit, the lies, the cheating, the stealing, adultery, etc., it darkens the heart. And that's where one should look at the sin. That's what makes the difference, not the skin color. So they've used racism as a weapon. What happened? Well, they come off the ark. And when they came off the ark, Japheth went north to this one land called Earth. It was not separated yet. It was one land. No division of land, no water in between. It was one big, giant island. Oh, I know, they say the Earth is 8 to 9 billion years old and the plates shifted and all this and all that. You know, 6 inches every year and every million, all that stuff is all nonsense. So everything is together, one piece of land, water all around it throughout the Earth except for one piece of land that's really big, a really big island you might call it. And when Noah came off, he was perfect in his generation, perfect in his generation, means his DNA was clean. He had no Nephilim DNA. Neither did the wives, neither did the boys. His wife didn't either. It was all one culture, one language throughout the world. The world was one piece of land surrounded by water. Japheth went north. Shem stayed in the middle, where the Middle East was, and Ham went south, toward Africa, and so forth. Well, two generations later, in the bloodline of Ham, to Cush, Nimrod was born. Nimrod was a warrior before God. What that meant was, Nimrod was a warrior in your face, God. Nimrod was evil. Nimrod was an evil king. Made a pact with fallen angels. Brought in Freemasonry, alchemy, the magic, the voodoo, and all this stuff. With Nimrod. Nimrod, having the spirit of Satan, wanted to ascend above the Most High, build a tower to Babel, to God. A tower to heaven. Well, it was actually the second heaven, and the purpose of it was to bring the fallen angels into this realm. Because they couldn't tell the difference between good angels and bad angels. You know, the Bible even covers this, by the way. Second Corinthians 11:14-15. It pretty much tells you right there about the fallen angels, about the hierarchy. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants, that'd be the lower level fallen angels, also masquerade as servants of righteousness. But their end will be that what their actions deserve, unquote. They'll come at you as servants of righteousness, both human and fallen angel. So what happened was, when they came off the ark, you had Ham, Cush, and Japheth. They had wives, they started reproducing. Go forth, multiply, replenish the earth. And still one culture, one language. So at that time, what happened was, Well, the fallen angels came back in the second wave, left their first estate. They taught Nimrod the arts, the craft. The women back then, they taught the sorcery. They started reproducing again, but a different set of fallen angels. What we call today ascended masters and aliens, the atheists like to call them, the hierarchy, the community, the great white brotherhood, fallen angels, sons of God, all the same. Intermingling with mankind, but they taught Nimrod alchemy and how to build the Tower of Babel to bring the fallen angels into this realm. That was the heaven they're talking about, the second heaven. I spoke about this last night and yesterday. And so God saw they were building the Tower of Babel, that man got together to plot against him. So at the Tower of Babel, you see, when you look at the Bible, it doesn't explicitly give you the origin of the different races in detail, or skin colors, or in humanity. Actually, there's only one race, that's the human race. And within the human race is the diversity in skin color, which I've laid the groundwork already, and other physical type of characteristics. So, some speculations that when God confused the languages, it's the Tower of Babel, because God confused the languages when he saw that man was building a tower to ascend above the Most High, plotting against God, because of God's love for humanity, he tore it down. Because mankind wasn't worshiping God, they were trying to build a tower to go up and take over God, take over the third kingdom, second kingdom. For no good reason. So, God tore it down. That's not all he did. He confused the languages at the Tower of Babel. You'll find in Genesis, the story in Genesis 1, verse 9. So he also created, at that point, racial diversity. When he changed the languages, he created racial diversity. But the speculations, now we get speculation. It is possible. It is possible that God made genetic changes to humanity to better enable people to survive in different ecologies. Because remember, when they changed the languages, they split up. You'd get with one speaking whatever you're speaking, another one whatever he's speaking, and you're getting out of there. You're moving, you're migrating. And God would have guided that on this one piece of ground called Earth, not yet divided. Because remember, they had no trees there. How could they build boats? They had no idea where they're going. So, God also created racial diversity at this time to separate the races. So it's possible that God made at that moment genetic changes to humanity at that moment to better enable them to survive in different ecologies. Well, for example, darker skin of Africans being better equipped genetically to survive the excessive heat of Africa. Even the animals were affected. Bears turned to polar bears because up north, some places don't even have any bears. According to the view, God confused the languages, causing humanity to segregate linguistically. And then he created genetic and racial differences based on where each racial group would eventually settle. And when possible, there is no explicit biblical basis for this view. You won't find it. And the skin color and the races are not mentioned in connection with the Tower of Babel. So, God either changed the cultural right then, right there. The language changed. He changed the physical structure at the same time. Or, over a period of generations, because we're living in different areas, the energy vibration, if you want to use that, which does affect DNA, would have affected the DNA of each group, including animals and plants and everything else. Either way, it did change. Noah did not have a Chinese son, a white son, a black son. He didn't have three. That's not possible. One DNA. So God moved them. Because they were building a tower to God, they thought, or the second heaven. Therefore, he confused the languages, tore down the tower, and then later came the different changes of different races. So at the Tower of Babel, when the different languages came to existence, groups that spoke one language moved away from the other at the same language. And doing so, the gene pool for a specific group shrank dramatically. So as a group no longer had the entire human population to mix with, closer inbreeding took place. And you know, in certain times, certain features were emphasized in these different groups because of the position they were in, the ley line they were in, the food they were eating has an effect on DNA over the long term. And you know, in time, there are certain features emphasized in these different groups that's formed up because different languages, all of them of which were present, the possibility of the genetic code. So further inbreed occurred during the generations. So the gene pool got what? Smaller and smaller. To the point that peoples of one language had all the same as the similar features. You got another explanation. That Adam and Eve possessed the genes to produce black, brown, and white offspring. Everything else in between. Somehow this would be familiar to how a mixed race couple sometimes has children that vary in color. And you know that the only survivors of the flood being Noah and his wife, Noah's three sons and their wives, eight people, as I said before. That Noah's daughters-in-law were different races. But that doesn't make sense because they didn't marry outside their race. It's also possible that Noah's wife was of a different race than Noah. Again, applies the same principle. And they say maybe all eight were of mixed race, which would mean they possessed the genetics to produce children, but of different races within them that was not activated. But no matter what, the most important aspect of this question about where the races came from is that we're all in the same race, all created by the same God, all created for the same purpose, and that's to glorify Him, not climb Mount Everest. Climbing Mount Everest and all these things are about exalting man. People have to learn that's not going to happen. It's about exalting Jesus Christ. He's your judge, Jesus is. All these things that's going on today is to keep your mind off of it. And keep you away from Jesus. This is what the big picture is. So now, what does the Bible say about racism, prejudices, and discrimination? We go back to Scripture. So the first thing to understand is there's only one race. And what race would that be? That'd be the human race. Caucasians, Africans, Asians, Indians, Arabs, and Jews are not different races. Rather, they're different ethnicities of the human race. You notice that all human beings have the same physical characteristics with minor variations, of course. But to even look at it more importantly, all human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. All of them. God loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son to lay down his life for us. The world obviously includes all ethnic groups. As I mentioned before, God does not show partiality or favoritism. You find that in Deuteronomy 10:17 and Acts 10:34. Romans 2:11 and Ephesians 6:9. That's Deuteronomy 10:17, Acts 10:34 and Romans 2:1 and Ephesians 6:9. And if God does not show favoritism, neither should we. You go to James 2 verse 4. Describes those who discriminate as judges with evil thoughts. So, instead, we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's not easy to do sometimes, you know, in this selfish world we live in. You know, in the Old Testament, God divided humanity into two racial groups, Jews and Gentiles. God's intent was for the Jews to be a kingdom of priests ministering to the Gentile nations. That was the first choice. But alas, what happened was, for the most part, the Jews became proof of their status and despised the Gentiles. Didn't go over so well. Satan's on the move. Jesus put an end to this and destroying the dividing wall of hostility. You'll find in Ephesians 2:14. So then you got all forms of racism and prejudice and discrimination are affronts to the work of Christ on the cross. And what's he do? What's the last covenants he gave us before he ascended? He commanded us to love one another as he loves us. And if God is impartial, loves us with impartiality, then we need to love each other the same way in high standards. Which is not being done. And they know it. Jesus taught Matthew 25 that whenever we do to the least of his brothers, we do to him. If we treat a person with contempt, we're mistreating a person created in God's image. We're hurting somebody whom God loves and for whom Jesus died for. That's sometimes used as a weapon itself. I go into a chat room, say, I mean, I don't do this, but I go into a chat room or YouTube, and you're gonna pretend like you're Christian, right? So you type in capital letters. You're not reading your Bible. You better study your Bible and stop being stupid. You know, what that's designed for is to chase people away instead of being understanding. At the very beginning when I started some of this on the YouTube, before we even had a broadcast, I was kind of that way. I would go after them. Later I learned that, wait a minute, you know, that's what that's doing here, is chasing them away. We are to reprove, correct, and then you give them scripture correctly. Not just make it up as you go along. So, at the Tower of Babel, God divided the races throughout the world, and then at some point in time, the time of Prelig, somewhere along there, God moved the plates. And there's a gap of history there that doesn't talk about this. Don't know if it's a loss of life. Don't know whether they had major typhoon or the major tsunamis or what. No idea. There's a gap there of history that's not recorded. After Nimrod, in about 10 generations plus, it doesn't say what happened. You can speculate that God moved the plates when all the different cultures got together, started speaking their own languages in their own places. God then moved the plates out, raised the water table, and now you have the oceans. And that he can do. If he split the Red Sea, if he can create an earth, he can sure do the rest of it. So man's divided, different races, cultures. The food changes, the animals change, and so forth. Okay, so Satan readjusts. He says, all right, they're all divided, separated. What we'll do now is have them, cause them to fight each other. That's what we're talking about 2 hours ago. Creating all these movements, creating racial differences, starting wars, using religion to start wars, finance to control, all these things were designed to have the races, the cultures fight each other for centuries. So eventually you're going to want peace. And guess what? They've got the peace. But there's a rub to it. The rub is, it's temporary peace. They're not telling their people that. They're not telling them that we do as I will to hold the law. Yeah, we got to do what we want to. This is my life. Here's what they don't tell them. That when they do that, and they have total control, they are going to close down all prisons and release felons into the population. Well, hey, karma, you know. Well, yeah, how about the victims, karma? See, so they're going to want martial law. Please help us. We want martial law. There's your dialectic. Then they got you. So Satan causes the wars of the cultures, and then we come back to, on the long term, set up the North American continent with a new creation of hybrid human beings, kept protected in deep underground military bases, for when the carnage happens on the earth at some point in time in the future. It could be a generation from now. Depends how we're being prepared for this changeover. It could be next year. Family, nobody knows, really. And you know that they don't know for sure because they've missed deadlines all along. Because they forget that God's in control. Now, family, we're coming down to the thick of it here. So I certainly see us going into part two tomorrow of explaining the details about how race and feminism have been used as a weapon against us and is continuing today. If you acknowledge this, if you know how this works, then people would come together and it wouldn't work. That's where you refuse to do what the government tells you to do. It's when you see you're being used against each other by manipulating God's principles, causing you to sin in his eyes. That's when you refuse to do what the government tells you to do. You got to stick to your guns on that. No pun intended there. Well, we're coming down to the end of the program. Part two tomorrow, and we'll get down to more detail about how feminism and racism is being used. We'll cover some headlines of what's really going on in the background to give you the truth about that. And then don't believe anything I say. Check it out on your own. Prove me wrong. That's not like an egotistical type or prideful type of challenge. It's to say, well, I just don't believe them. That's fine. And then you go out and find it out yourself. Your own knowledge. Your own name on it. Don't take anybody on TV, anybody in the news, because it's all controlled through the Council of Foreign Relations. But here's the trick to it. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Several simple reasons why, but I don't have that time right now to go through it. But a lot of it has to do with arrogance. Another thing has to do with his pride. Another is kind of they have to because God requires his people to know what they're going to do before they do it. So then what you do is you look for the truth. Eat the chicken, spit out bones when you read or listen to a TV or whatever. And more than one report. But pray for wisdom and discernment. That's where you get it anyway. We are played up and let y'all know, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highportradio.net, highportradio.net is his website. He plays our broadcast, our Bible studies, randomly. And he's looking for sponsors. He's looking for you to sponsor his groups there to keep his towers moving, his network up and running. I get nothing for it. I don't have any kind of agreement there, nothing whatsoever. But he does play our broadcast and our Bible studies. That's all I care about. And for him to do that, he's got to run it, get his show running. He's got to get his network up and running. He does right now, but he wants to keep it running. So those up there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, check in to John Kirkler. H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highportradio.net. Tomorrow I'll be back. Tonight, 8 to 9, is Bible study on the same network. Tomorrow, 4 to 6, we'll talk more about racism, how it really operates, feminism, and we'll probably finish up about feminism later, maybe probably two more sessions of that. Feminism is vast. It's amazing. It has nothing to do with really salary raises for women and equal rights and all that. It has nothing to do with that. That's a facade. It's control people through mass manipulation. It's what feminism, racism, Nazism, communism, ism, probably rheumatism too, I guess. Whatever it is, ism, whatever it is used to control the population in every case. Tomorrow we'll get into the cause of anti-Semitism in the world. We'll get into races, how they use it. So you can see the big picture. And just a massive number of deceptions. It's just off the wall. Unbelievable how they've done it. So visit my website, watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And then tomorrow we'll see you at 4 o'clock. If not, tomorrow, tonight, 8 to 9. Tomorrow, 4 to 6. Let's finish up what we're talking about today. Either finish it up or continue on to the next day. Then Bible study from now on this week, 8 to 9, till Friday. So y'all have a good night. I appreciate y'all dropping by. I know I gave you a lot of stuff today. A lot of stuff to think about, to say the least. But you got to be able to dissect what's really going on to prepare for what's getting ready to happen. It's not what people think it is. It's supernatural. So you fight it with spiritual warfare. Some people won't get that to the last minute. You all are ahead of the game. Y'all have a good night, and God bless to y'all. This is your Watchman, signing off.
Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.